Welcome everyone to our second webinar in our AngelSense series. We're sharing real life practical ways that some of our families are using the AngelSense device to see really some life-changing victories and milestones. So, of course, on behalf of the entire AngelSense team, I want you guys to know how much we value you, the parents and caregivers who really teach us what really works in the day-to-day life with AngelSense technology. So your stories and feedback, drive every update we release. So consider this a really a two-way conversation between us tonight. So a little bit about us first. We'll do a brief introduction. My name is Lauren DeClaire. I'm a board-certified behavior analyst, and I'm really passionate about really integrating technology into different behavioral interventions to help support in independence and communication. I've had the pleasure of working with so many families using AngelSense over the past couple of years. But today, what we're here to focus on is something close to our hearts, which is how can we utilize this technology to enhance language? So, with that, I will hand it over to my amazing colleague, Melissa, to tell her story.
Thank you, Lauren. You're amazing too. It's been a great few years working together and, like Lauren said, working with these incredible families. My name is Melissa Shufflebine, and I'm also a board certified behavior analyst, but I only became one because my son was diagnosed at 2 years old with autism spectrum disorder, very severe. He was also believed to be apraxic, so I was told to prepare for him to not speak, which as a parent is a very hard thing to take. It felt like his story had already been written out, and we had no authorship over any of that. So I'm so proud to tell you that that is not the case. We tried all different kinds of communication systems, and it really didn't work. And by not accepting that story, he now has a totally different one. He has a YouTube channel. He has better vocabulary than mine, even. So he proved it wrong and then some. And I'm really excited to share with you some of the things that we've found effective. So we want to really get to know you. This is interactive. Again, we want to know more about you. So if you could engage with us and answer some questions that we have out for you. What best describes your loved one's communication level? You can answer this by scanning this QR code. It'll give you the prompt to answer the question. If you cannot, if you're logging in from your phone, you are able to also pop it in the chat. Sometimes when you pop it in the chat as well, we get, an answer that maybe we haven't provided. So far across the board, we have either nonverbal, somewhat verbal. You're in the right spot if that is the case. Today is all about those kiddos who either have no communication yet, are kind of emerging in communication, and then also how to strengthen those who do have verbal skills. No, oh, some people are using an augmentative communication device as well. That's really great. All right. Thank you for sharing. This really helps us kind of tailor what we're talking about to what's most relevant for you. That's why we love to have these polls. So that way, when we're speaking to you and we're speaking to your needs. So, Lauren, why don't we get going? Can you tell us what we're doing here today?
For sure, yeah. So we'll just start kind of by discussing that challenge that we're here to solve. And really, we want to meet you guys and your families and your children where you're at and your skill set. So we'll kind of talk about a wide variety of situations today. But for a lot of non or minimally verbal children, language doesn't always, develop in that traditional way. So these individuals often might understand more language than they can actually express. So what we find is without repeated or meaningful exposure to different language, words, expressions, things like that, it can be even harder for them to sort of build these skills, essentially.
Yeah, and we gotta be very realistic here. I mean, speaking as a parent myself, it can be really hard to provide that language enrichment naturally. We're expected to be the chef, the guide, the therapist, the appointment setter, appointment reminder, cab driver, whatever, what have you. We have lots of roles. So remembering to program language into your daily routines can be really hard, especially when transitions create a lot of chaos and stress is high. So I'm kind of thinking in terms of my own personal experience, very hard to weave in language enrichment practices when I'm trying to make dinner and kids are running around and or we're trying to just get out the door to go to school and get everybody to where they need to be. It makes it a challenge. But what's crucial about what we're talking about today is it's in those moments, the everyday natural occurring instances where language really makes sense to a child and really can take shape. This is like the golden opportunities because it's relating to what they're actually doing. So we have found that with the AngelSense assistive technology, it really has become a tool for life. We don't just consider it with safety. We can consider it with things like this, where you can program language into your child's day truly effortlessly. So that's what we're here to chat about.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we want to show you today. We're going to show you four simple strategies or different ways to really build language using these features you already have with your AngelSense. So whether your child is nonverbal, has a couple of emerging words, or is just needs a little bit of extra support in their development of language, these strategies are again here to meet you where you are. So with that, we like to start these webinars off with a quote around more of a theme of the day. So our quote for today is, "Silence is never the end of a story. With a little bit of patience, love, and the right tools, every child can find their voice." So Melissa, do you want to kick us off with those four strategies?
Absolutely. Oh, I love that quote so much because it's true and it's been proven true in our life as well. So, our four strategies, I want to make sure these strategies utilize features of the AngelSense called the smart voice and also the two-way speaker. And if you're not familiar with how to get to these features or how to use them towards the end of the session, I'll be going into my personal app and showing you how to do that. So with that understanding, the two features that this mostly relies on. First, Language Live, and that's using the smart voice on demand in the moment, programming language without you having to actually speak it. We have scheduled speaking, which is more based on routines, scheduled messages being sent at certain times, labeling transitions, labeling warnings, labeling different things that might rely on a schedule. Language on the go, which means pairing the smart voice messages with arrival or departure to familiar places. And we'll get into these strategies in depth in just a moment. This is just kind of your preview. And then Say It With Me, which is using the two-way speaker to start to prompt a little bit of language coming back to you. And again, you might be looking at these strategies thinking like, I don't know how this applies to someone who is either verbal, nonverbal, or emerging in their communication skills, but wait till you see what we got. Like, we've had such great experience with it. So I want to talk about, why would you use the speaker? Why would you use an assistive technology at all for language enrichment? So there's many reasons, and this is very, very near and dear to my heart, as I mentioned. So first, for a child who is on the spectrum, when they're in their natural environment, like home, school, and anywhere, like I mentioned, this is the key opportunity for children to start building up those skills because the activities they're doing are relevant. It's not a skill and drill looking at a picture and labeling it. They actually are engaging with the things in their environment. However, when they are doing so, auditory input in that environment tends to kind of muddle, what is taken in and what is kind of just junk, stimuli in the air. So you might notice when your child is kind of engaged in play or they're doing an activity and you say their name or you say something to them, they don't attend. And Lauren and I even have worked with lots of kiddos before. And even just when my son would play, you go into play and they're kind of like, no, I'm doing my thing over here. I don't want you to come in and start saying a bunch of things to me. So the reason that the speaker has proven to be so effective is one, it is clear it's attached to them. So it's very different and distinct from the other auditory stimuli that's going to be around. So they're way more likely to hear it. And you may have noticed that your child can very well repeat or even pick up on things that they hear in songs, in videos, from electronic devices. And that's because the auditory stimuli is very different. So it's easier to pick out of the environment. So for a child who tends to repeat songs and phrases or even sounds that they hear from technology, that it's because the stimuli is different. And also, when we are using an assistive technology like this through a speaker, it's your voice in a way that they can hear it. And then also, it doesn't interrupt their play. They don't think that you're coming in and trying to change what they're doing or trying to get them to focus attention on you, then attach what you're saying to what they're doing. There's a lot of moving pieces to that that make it very difficult. So the speaker has made it a lot easier for the kids that we work with to actually attend to what's being spoken and then later on repeat it. So those repetitions, that echolalia repeating, can turn into functional language if it's associated. And we'll talk to that in just a minute.
Exactly. So, and that's where we're going to start off with our first strategy, which is that language live. It's all about using that smart voice, but using it on demand in different ways to really enrich your child's environment with language, with meaningful, functional, and concise, clear language. So, for example, if your child is playing, you could, tape a recording that says red ball or find the red ball or nice job stacking the blocks. So as you're sitting there and watching and observing your child, you can kind of contrive the environment with those materials and schedule or I'm sorry, on demand play those recordings when they find the red ball. So again, it's a way for us to deliver that message. So either that prompt or the instruction or the reward or us saying great job. So it's a way to deliver that without directly interrupting their playtime. So like Melissa said, they might not want to be interrupted, but it's a way for us to still get that clear message across to them. So what we're really trying to do here is aiming to be able to provide language enrichment during these different times.
Yeah, one mom we've worked with, it's really cool to see this in action. And it's very specific as to why it would be a recorded message that you send on demand. So this mom, what we did is we had her set up kind of a controlled play environment. So maybe she was at the little playground they have in their backyard, and they have, like Lauren said, a red ball, and they have a slide, and they have so the toys that the child could interact with were few. They were few. It wasn't a bunch of distracting toys because there's no way you can record 100 messages for everything your child owns. So she had only these things in the environment, and she had a recorded message for each of these things. So when the child would go to approach that thing or interact with that thing, it just kind of looked like mom was doing her thing on her phone and she would play the message as the child was approaching the thing. You wouldn't want to use the two-way in this case, because if you were to use like the two-way speaker and you're saying it and it's coming through, you might get feedback, or then also you might dilute kind of the auditory stimuli because it's your voice and it's also coming from this. Now, the reason you would do something like this is because when a child doesn't have a lot of language, or they have no language, or even if they're trying to strengthen their language, like maybe you're trying to work on their pronunciation of things, if the child's going for the red ball and mom shoots off the message, red ball, it's very clear. And then the child goes to the slide, up and down the slide. And it's the same every time. Our children start to pick up language when it is consistent, it's easy, and it's clear. So a lot of times when we see therapists playing with kids, or even when we play with our own kids and we're at the playground with them and we say, "Oh, you went up the slide. Good job. Oh, you're going down. Oh, wow, that was fast. You're going to go to the red ball now." We call it language pollution. It makes sense to us. Yes, we're providing language in the environment, but the child is only hearing pollution. They're not hearing those clear-cut things that they can start repeating. If there's only a few things in the environment to play with, we have messages that go click, red ball, it's clear, they can hear it, they can start repeating it because they've heard it. Every time I go to the red ball, it says red ball. This must be a red ball. I can say red ball. It has to be those associations with the items or the activities that will start to create that meaning. Language is only meaning. If the child knows what to associate it with, then they now know how to start using it. So those on-demand messages make it very cool. You're not interrupting play, like Lauren said. They have a very clear auditory stimuli that tells them what that thing is. Every time I go to this, it says this. This must be what it means. So that's the language enrichment you would get from this strategy.
Exactly. So that brings us to our second strategy, which is using scheduled speaking. So this is again one of our favorites and one of our go-tos with a lot of our families, and it involves recording smart voice messages that play at predictable times throughout the day. So during routines, you might record, "It's time for breakfast," or "Go brush your teeth," or "Time to get ready for bed," and different messages like that. And then what you can do, and again, we will show you, Melissa's going to show you at the end of this, how to schedule them to play right before those activities are about to occur. So it's a really convenient way to prompt different, again, kind of daily living skill activities, routines, take your medication, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, I do see someone in the chat quick saying it's for kids. It's for adults with communication too. Anybody who has limited communication will learn the same way. So any person, individual on the spectrum, yes, mostly we've actually worked with individuals all the way from 4 to 31. So it is relevant for whomever is having a communication delay, has limited communication. So if you are here, the person you're considering is an adult, these strategies will work. You would just do maybe different activities. So, like if for Language Live, you might do they're about to do their, some kind of vocational activity, or they're about to do something in relation to a program that they're going to. The examples we give, even if they are for kids, the strategy stays the same. It would just be the
Even
different activities.
for elderly loved
Right.
ones that are using AngelSense, a lot of those smart voice messages, like take your medication, those can be also be scheduled and be helpful for those individuals with dementia, things like
Right.
that.
Right. Absolutely. So, with that, we're going to go back into strategy two. What I want to make note of is so if you provide a scheduled message to play and it talks about a routine. If your child doesn't follow that routine right away and they still require assistance, that's fine because we're not looking at receptive instructions here. We're looking at associating words to actions. When you hear brush your teeth, this is the action that follows. When you hear breakfast time, this is the food that follows. When you hear bedtime, this is the routine that follows. Again, making that consistent word to activity association means that you can begin to say it's time for bed and they will follow the routine, or they might even say it themselves. So it's really building up again those meaningful associations. So with that, let's go to our third strategy, which is language on the go. Now, this one is again smart voice. You have pre-recorded messages, but those messages get played upon arrival or departure from a named place. And if you don't know if you have a named place or you need help with doing a named place, you can always call support. We'll give the information at the end and they will walk you through how to do that. You'll see on my app as well what a named place looks like. But when the child arrives or departs, you can have it play a message based on that. So when they arrive to school, it will automatically do Welcome to school, time to learn. And these are automated. The cool thing about scheduled speaking and language on the go is that once you record that message, you're done. You don't do anything. You don't have to set that off. The minute you set the scheduled message to play, or the minute that child leaves somewhere or arrives somewhere, that message will play. So you're good to go. So again, it can say, welcome to school, time to learn. When they get home, they could be like, this is home, welcome home. Or when they're leaving therapy, bye-bye therapy, see you later. Or if there's a person they love at their therapy location, like bye-bye. We had Miss Christie, and he called her Miss Christmas Tree, which is really cute. So I could have said bye, Miss Christmas Tree, and just different things that they can learn to say upon leaving or arriving somewhere. And this is really great for adults and elderly dementia as well, because it provides that language and association to those familiar places.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in one family we worked with, child was nonverbal, minimal verbal skills. What we did is had mom schedule these short, very short phrases for arrival at the specific locations that he would go to day to day. So, and they were just short messages. So school, grandma's, store, things of that nature. And what we started to see and what started to occur was that he gradually started repeating these words, either after hearing them or just spontaneously, she started to hear him starting to say these words. So what we noticed was it started to it really helped get some of that spontaneous language going for that particular individual, which then from there we can build upon that in different ways. So it's a great way, again, to just add language to familiar environments, and that repetition can strengthen that comprehension, helps your child associate phrases. I love this part, associating phrases with places, which can also help re reduce anxiety too, if there's any anxiety around transitions from, different activities, different locations, things like that. All right, and then we have our final strategy. Say it with me. This is using the two-way speaker phone, the two-way speaker, so you can model language in real time. So think of it as, a co-op prompting, imitation, things like that, verbal imitation. So your child might be washing their hands, and you can use the speaker to say wash, or they might be on a bike, and you could say, you can, through that speakerphone, say we. And our goal there is that we really start to see some verbal imitation from the individuals. So.
Yeah, this kind of scripting really supports having something come back to you. So again, this is different from Language Live, where you're kind of sitting passive and observing the play in a contained environment so you can send those messages. This is more like they're doing something, you're not really in sight. Again, you're not interrupting the activity or the play or whatever it might be, but you are giving something that they can say that is related to what they're doing. So, like Lauren said, you can, when you're washing your hands, you can start to say wash, or if they're on a slide or they're on their bike, and you could say we. Or if someone is somewhat verbal and they're working on different social things, they're getting on the bus, and you can hang back and say hello. There's the bus driver, say hello. Trying to work in those things that would be common for a person to say when engaging in that activity. So you do want to have it in the two-way, so that you can hear if they repeated you, or you can provide them prompting kind of in real time. This is really where you want to try to get something back. So along the way, you want to, get excited if they say anything toward it. So I want to highlight too, this provides a really good way to give them language for something that they're doing, something that they can say, something that they can build on, that's relevant to whatever it is they're doing, but then they're also not having to split attention. This is such an important part of this presentation, is that the reason we would choose to do this through technology and not just in person is because when a child is engaging in the activity, The moment we give them something to say or we try to give them a word, the attention goes from the activity to you and then back to the activity, and that association is not being made, not with the types of learners that we are working with. So this is your way to kind of give them language for what they're doing without having them shifting back and forth. And it's very interactive. So let's bring it back all together. When we think about language growth, what's the first thing that you think about? First thing that I thought about when my son was coming into his diagnosis was speech therapy. We got to get him into speech therapy, which is amazing. I loved it. I love speech therapy and I love all of the therapies that he did. But I think about, flashcards, drilling, and like learn this word and use this word. But it really happens in everyday life. Where he really started to shine was when he was given language. I remember it distinctly. He would memorize Despicable Me 2. And I had a, oh my gosh, moment when he was starting to come into his language. We were in church in this big auditorium, and he pretended to be Gru giving a motivational speech and yelled. And it was, I was like, oh my gosh, but he repeated the script. It's those everyday situations where they say, I've seen that before. I can apply that here. So that's why we strive to build language in those moments, because that's where it's the strongest. Language is a muscle. You can't go to the gym one time and expect to lift a car over your head. You have to go every day. 5 pounds turns into 10, turns into 15, turns into one day you can lift the car. So by starting in these moments, we really want to shape. We want to start with the fives. If you say wash and they say wah, great, get excited about that because it's shaping, it's building it up, and it's becoming more and more fluent. And it takes that consistency. That's why we're so passionate about things like Language Live, and like the messages that are clear and they're the same every time, is it's consistent. It's the child will start to understand. It's every single time. That specific phrase, so there's no threat of language pollution. And again, allow for growth. Be really excited about those approximations or those, like, it's kind of like the word, but not quite the word. Get excited and shape over time. So if you say wash and you get wah, then be like, yeah, good. Wash and highlight it. So start building on it. And I promise you will see consistent progress.
And then of course celebrate the progress. See that like Melissa's saying, the consistency, patience, recognize what language communication looks like, and it's different for every child. So
Me get back to where we are here. So we want to go back to our quote, silence is never the end of a story. With patience, love, and the right tools, every child can find their voice. Notice we didn't say, find their vocals, find their voice, find a way to communicate. Language enrichment is not your typical instruction response. Language enrichment, it's like the more they hear it, the better. So if you think your child would learn better by it repeating, then absolutely go for it. There's no, like, if you do it this way, it's so not going to work for language enrichment. The only thing that doesn't work for language enrichment is either language pollution or not speaking at all. And by repeating one phrase, you're not creating language pollution. So let me see. How long is too long for a message?
Right.
These questions are so great. It depends on the language level of your child or whoever your loved one is. So if someone is nonverbal, I would say no more than a word or two. Just keep it very, very much, and don't make them complicated words. Like if you were going to do like up, down, slide, you slide a lot, I would use just those very clear words. I wouldn't go like two twisty slide. I wouldn't do a whole lot of descriptive. I would just do basically nouns or actions. If they're a little bit more verbal and you're trying to strengthen, then you can use some descriptions in there, like blue ball, or even like you threw the ball or things like that. So it depends on the language that your child has already. For almost nonverbal, I would not do very lengthy at all. If you have any questions about the actual features and your app and how to set them up and how to use them, please contact our support. What I have found with the AngelSense and all of its features is day one, and even probably my first couple years using it, I really didn't use it to its full potential because I didn't really understand all of the features. And it seems like a lot because it is a lot because it does a lot. So to make sure that it's tailored to you, I would really get on with someone from support. We're not talking about, someone who's working in a call center. We're talking about like actual parents that use this and are working out of their homes because they were given employment by AngelSense because they couldn't work with having a child with special needs. So you're talking to family, you're talking to people that will be so happy to like walk you through setting all of this stuff up to where you need it. Well, friends, if that's all the questions, I think we can sign off for today. Thank you so much again for attending, and please come on for the next one.
All right. Bye, guys.